to remind us that God who's done it before will do it again. You have your Bible open to Philippians chapter number 4, and I want to give you some more thoughts out of this section of Scripture. Tonight may wrap up this section, and we'll move on as we move toward our missions conference. It'll be on us before we know it. The closing of the book of Philippians deals with missions and how that this church was involved in missions giving. Perhaps that's why this epistle was known as the Epistle of Joy, because they were involved in giving to missions. They were involved in missionary endeavor. And we'll certainly look at that when it comes to those scriptures. Let me give you just a few things here that the Lord's given me, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you and a help to you. I want you to notice with me as we move from verses 6 and 7, and now we're going to get into verse number 8. There's a word in verse number 6 that's going to show up again as far as how to deal with this word in verse number 8, and the word is careful. Be anxious for nothing. Be careful for nothing. Now, how are we going to accomplish that? You know, it's just like when someone comes to you and you see that they're fretful or they're anxious, what are you going to tell them? Well, don't worry. And so they stop worrying, right? Because you told them to. So Paul was much more mature to say that. So he's saying, be careful for nothing, but, and then he begins to tell you, okay, here is how that you can defeat that. Here's how you can defeat the anxiety, the worry, the fretfulness. Here's how you can overcome that. And then we talked about the approach to God, the adoration, the supplication, the appreciation. And then he said, let your requests be made known unto God. In other words, don't worry about it. Pray about it. You know, it's not just stop worrying. It's do something instead of worrying. A lot of times we tell people, don't worry. Well, tell them what to do, not just what not to do. It's not just stop worrying, it's start praying. Could you imagine what it would be if we prayed as much as we worried? I said we now, okay? I mean, people worry. That doesn't make it okay. It's a sin to worry. It's a sin to worry. Okay, I just want to make sure that you heard that. It's a sin to worry. Worrying is a lack of faith and lack of trust. The Bible says in Isaiah 26:3, thou shalt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Now, it's talking about the mind. Now, worry deals with the mind and it deals with the heart. And here's what Paul, we'll get back to this word careful, because we're going to pick it up in verse 8. But look at the latter part of verse 7. When we make our requests known in the way that Paul has given, and now I want you to notice, it's not just make your requests known, it's the whole verse, right? It's the whole verse, verse 6. You don't just make your requests known in the peace of God, which passeth understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It's prayer, the adoration. It's supplication. It's appreciation, thanksgiving, and then let your request be known. You see, with that attitude, and now God's ready to flood your soul with peace, to give you assurance in the midst of a situation that you may have deep concern about. He said in verse number 7, the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep. That word is, as I've mentioned to you before, it's garrison, it's guard. Now, I want you to know what God is going to guard for us. We need a guard on these two areas of our life. And the reason that we need a guard on these two areas of our lives is because these are the two areas where worry creeps into our lives. All right? The peace of God, verse number 7, which passeth all understanding, shall keep, which means garrison or put a fence around, guard, protect your hearts. And when you think of heart, you think of feelings, okay? Your emotions, your feelings, your hearts She'll keep your feelings, your hearts, and your minds, your thoughts. Now, here's two areas that have to be governed. They have to be protected. They have to be guarded. The Bible is just constantly talking about the battle that goes on in the mind, the heart. The Bible says we ought to keep our heart because out of it proceed the issues of life. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The Bible talks about casting down imaginations and bringing, you see, every thought into Christ. So here's two areas, all right? The heart, feelings, the mind, thoughts. And if we're left to ourselves, we have bad feelings and wrong thoughts. And we need God to help protect us from the enemy, from causing us to have these wrong or bad feelings and wrong and bad thoughts. And so, because that ultimately is what's going to be our peace robber. All right? Isn't it amazing how that when Paul began to talk about in verse number 8, the mind, thinking, the very first thing he said is, finally, brethren, whatsoever things, look at the first thing he said, are true. See, our enemy is a liar. He's a liar. So all he does is lies. All right? And he wants you and I, he wants us through lying to foster bad, hurtful feelings and bad thoughts through lying. And so what's Paul saying? He's saying, you need to stay focused on truth. Truth. Don't believe the lie. Don't buy into the lies. It adversely affects our feelings and our thoughts. And as a direct result of that, we lose our joy and our peace. And so he said, God will help in this process when we follow the instructions that he has given. Then God will put a garrison. He'll put a fence, a guard around our minds and our hearts to protect us. Why? Because outward actions are directly attached to inward attitudes. You see, our hearts, our feelings, our minds, our thoughts directly produce actions. Right? You know, we find ourselves saying and doing the wrong things because of wrong feelings and wrong thoughts. When we allow the devil to infiltrate our hearts, infiltrate our feelings, to infiltrate our minds, to infiltrate our thoughts, then it's going to rob us of some things that God wants for our lives. And it's a constant battle. It's a daily battle. And it's a battle we must fight. You can't just sit back and say, well, you know what? I'm through with this. I'm through fighting. I'm just going to give in and let the devil have his way. It's a terrible approach to life. It's a terrible approach. Fight. Fight. Yield. Trust Christ. Stay in the Word. Now, I want to do this, okay? I want to take these terms that God has instructed Paul to use, and I want to show you where there's a direct link to the Scripture. All right, so here's what he says. He says, finally, brethren, because upon first reading this, you'll think, my, how in the world am I going to keep my mind thinking on these things? With so many things that are bombarding us today that are just, I mean, they're just terrible. Right? I mean, they're just, it's awful. The things that are out there, our society has sunken so low. It's just awful. The things that we're confronted with, you can't even turn your head to the right or to the left without seeing things that just, you get a mental image and you just say, that's terrible. And so it's a fight, all right? So listen, he says, whatsoever things are true. Now he starts there. And I'm not going to take the time to go into detail in these words, but I would encourage you. And I asked a couple of weeks ago, how many people have a concordance? Just open your concordance and look at these words and trace them. And you know, look, true's true, all right? You know, we there's no real need than trying to make something a lot more than what it is. Okay, so what else we need to know about true? It's true, Right? Stick with what's right. Stick with the true. Search things out. Don't just believe everything you hear. Amen. Search it out. So, well, I read it on the internet. That's all the more reason to search it out. Whatsoever things are honest, and of course, honest is honest. The word there is really, it's another word, it's noble. Right? It's got to have some honor to it. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are of good report. Now think about that for a moment. So somebody comes up to you, hey, have you heard? Oh, so-and-so, and they want to just use you and your ears as a garbage pail. Just listen. How am I going to think on good things if I'm allowing people to tell me rotten things? And so we are in control of these things. All right? Can I control what's in verse number 6? Absolutely. Absolutely. It's within my control to approach God correctly, to approach Him in reverence, and that's really what this is teaching here, in prayer and adoration. Approach God in reverence, to supplicate, to be specific, to be personal, and to give thanks. That's a choice. So Paul is saying here, make a choice. But he's also saying in verse number 8, make a choice. I just can't help it. My mind's just filled with bad things. There's a reason. There's a reason. The eye affects the heart, and what goes in the eye of the ear gate gets right down in your heart. And it's going to come right up out of your mouth. Amen? The Bible teaches this. Guard what your ears hear. Guard what our eyes see. And so he said, whatsoever things are of good report in verse number 8. And he said, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think. Now here's your choice. Think on these things. You get to choose. Are you going to think on these things, or the things that are contrary and to these things and just vile and no good? You get to choose. Now, I'm not going to say, because I think we all know this, I'm not going to say that everything that we think we get to choose, sometimes the devil plants seeds. But now we do get to choose if we're going to cultivate that seed or just stomp it out. Amen? I get to choose if I'm going to go forward with that thought. You do too, by the way. Amen, brethren. Listen, this is the Word of God. It's a choice. And so we must fight this battle. There's a battleground for the heart and the mind. So he said, think on these things. Choose to think this way. Why? Because how we think will determine how we act and what we say. Now, did you get a good feel for these words? True, look at them one more time. True, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtue, praise, these things. Now, I want you to take your Bible just for a moment and turn back to Psalm 19. Now, while you're turning to Psalm 19, I want to quote Psalm 119, 165. Great peace, and that's what we're talking about here, okay? Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Now, there's a couple of ways you can look at this, all right? Nothing shall offend them. Well, offend could mean to cause aught, but it also could mean to trip up or to cause us to stumble. Remember when we were studying in Matthew 11, Jesus said, blessed is he who is not offended in me, who doesn't stumble at my person and at my work. And so when I think of Psalm 119, 165, I think of great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall cause them to stumble. Right? You got to love God's law. What's the opposite of that? People who are not in this book are apt to spend a lot of time stumbling, tripping and falling. And so as we think about that, and look at Psalm 19. Look at, we'll begin reading in verse number 7. Now, many people, there is actually, we used to sing, me and, if you can believe this, Brother John, remember these days? Me and Sharon and Brother John and Sister Doris used to lead a youth choir. Say amen, Brother John. Amen. You say, what happened to that? Well, it crashed and burned. Amen. Amen. I thought we'd done pretty good. We sang this psalm. We did. We had a lot of help from the youth, though. We lipped it. Amen. The law of the Lord, look at verse number 7. The law of the Lord is perfect. Look at some of these words. It's the same things. If you begin to compare these words with Philippians 4:8, you'll see same thought process. The law of the word, here's a good word, perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, all right? Making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, converting the soul. The test or the rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are, and here's where Philippians 4:8 starts, that first word, it are true and righteous altogether. So when you look at these words and you say, okay, here's some words. Verse 7, we have perfect, we have sure. Verse 8, we have right, we have pure. Verse 9, verse 7, we have perfect, we have sure. Verse 7, we have right, we have pure. Verse 9, we have clean, we have true and righteous altogether. Now, get on down in verse number 10 and you get sweet. So when you compare these words, is what I'm trying to show here, to Philippians 4:8, Paul says, you know what you need to do? You need to get your mind in the Word of God. Need to get in this book so God can set your thinking straight. God has set my thinking straight. Now, it's not perfect, and I still get off course, right? But my, how differently I think these 30-some-odd years later from the time and the day that Jesus found me some years ago. How differently I think and how differently I view things. How God has turned my heart and how He's turned my mind as I've meditated in this book right here. Amen. It's cleaned me up from the inside out. Amen. And what is God teaching me? Paul is saying, you want the peace of God in your heart? Then get the Word of God in your mind. And get the Word of God in your heart. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall guard, shall garrison, shall protect your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. How am I going to have peace of God? Through the Word of God. Great peace have they which love thy law. There's the secret. It's the secret of our thought life. It's the secret of our approach, our way of thinking. And ultimately, it will become the secret of our actions. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. He's going to put into practice what he has thought up. Long before a sin becomes an action, it was a thought. Now hear me, brethren. Hear me. I wrote this down, and it's something you've heard over again, okay? Sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap character. Sow character, reap a destiny. But it all begins with a thought. It's hard to imagine some of the folks that we have ministered to over the years and are ministering to today that are in just dire straits in their lives. Their lives have gone off the precipice, if you will. I mean, they've hit rock bottom. It all began with a look, a thought. It all began there. And these many years later, look at where it led them, because it was not put into check. And it can happen to your life and mine too. And that's why we are told of Paul. We are exhorted, as we go back to Philippians, we are exhorted of the apostle, think on these things. In other words, get in the book. Get in the Word of God. How's your reading habits? You ought to constantly ask yourself, am I in the Word? See, the devil will not just come to the consecrated, dedicated Christian and say, you know what, you ought to quit reading the Bible. Just stop. That's not the way it begins. You got to cut back a little bit. Well, you're too busy. You got to rush out and not get that Bible reading in. And it's just a little here and a little there. And before you know it, what you have practiced for maybe years in your life begins to fade some, and you lose that awareness of, hey, I'm not reading my Bible as I should. Or I've turned into a verse a day kind of guy. And I need to get back to some systematic Bible reading, to where I spend some time in the Word of God. And I want to challenge you, and I'm not saying this to shame or to throw anyone under the bus. I want to help you. I want to challenge you. If you do it, okay. If you don't, okay. You know, I would not get on my Facebook until I spent time in the Word of God. I would not go about, checking up on everything and everybody and scrolling and whatever people do. Listen, I have a Facebook account, and I'm a social media person, but it's just about that much, okay? I don't even know if I would qualify to be called a social media person. Certainly not a social media bug, okay? So, for those of you that are, don't let it rob you of your Bible reading. If you've got time to read 30, 45, an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours on social media, Facebook, or your favorite website, then you have time to spend in the Word of God. And I'm just going to encourage you now. I'm not in any way berating or talking down. I just want to help you. Why don't you make it a precedent? Why don't you make yourself a promise? And even if you feel so inclined in your heart, make a vow before God. I refuse to turn on a television or a computer or my phone until I have spent time in the Word of God, because I want the peace of God in my heart. And I have seen from the teaching of God's Word that if I'm going to have the peace of God in my heart, I must have the Word of God in my mind. It's important. It's important. I would go even beyond that and say, once you've read the Word of God, why don't you make some type of pact between yourself and God now, and just say, I'm going to check on 5 people and see how they're doing. Before I read all the garbage on Facebook about everybody's complaints, I'm going to call 5 people's name out to God, or I'm going to pick up the telephone and I'm going to find out how they're doing from them. Not from some mask, inadvertent, indirect message from Facebook that you want everybody to know, but you don't want no one to know. Ministry. I want to find out how some folks are doing before I read whatever folks read. Now, you say, preacher, if you're so bad against Facebook, why do you have one? Because Facebook's kind of like TV. It's like reading material. It can be used for good. You know, if we could get up here and say, you know what, y'all to just stop reading. Why? Well, you know, all that smut and trash out there. Well, there's some good stuff to read too. Amen? Yeah. And there's some good uses. You just got to learn how to use the good and how to control some things. But it's up to you. Can't have somebody standing over you now and just, you know, that's not the way it works. You've got to set some and Brother David mentioned it Wednesday night, some guardrails, some parameters, and say, you know, these are just some things I'm going to do. I'm going to spend some time alone with God, and I'm going to check on some of my brethren. I'm going to check on maybe a family member or someone in church. I'm going to call someone and, hey, how you doing today? Just thought I'd check and see how you were doing. Heard that you had surgery and just wanted to call and see if there's anything I could do for you. I think that's a good thing. I don't think you would regret that. And so I'm not trying to run your life. I'm just trying to give you some ideas of how maybe you could get your day off to a good start rather than clicking on Facebook and somebody going, "Ah, what's wrong? PM me. What's up?" Okay. So you've got, we're back now to Philippians. We're off Facebook and we're back to the book. Amen. Philippians chapter 4. And I don't say that. Listen, I want to help you. I want you to have the peace of God in your life. Why? In Philippians 4, here's what the apostle said. You're back there. He said, it passeth all understanding. It'll guard. It'll protect. It'll help you. It'll help you in your thinking. In verse number 8. And then he said, those things. Look at verse number 9. So we've talked about right praying, right thinking. Now we're going to get to right living. Because I'm going to tell you something. That's what these two things lead to. Now, it's really, verse number 6 just deals with the right approach to God. That's your heart. And then in verse number 8, it deals with the right approach to your thinking. That's your mind. So the right approach in your heart in verse number 6 and 7, and the right approach in your mind in verse number 8 is going to lead to the proper actions. Because remember what we said, you cannot separate inward attitudes from outward actions. You can't do it. So get verse 6, 7, and 8 down. Verse number 9 will come. Look at what it says. Those things which you have both learned and received. Now, here's a balance of things, and I want to talk to you about this, and we'll be through for tonight. All right? Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Now we're going to go from guarding to guiding. And the God of peace shall be with you. He's going to guide you. Now the peace of God is going to guard you when you follow this model, these instructions here. When you get in the Word and you approach God and you just have that time with God and you establish a committed relationship, the peace of God is going to be a part of that. And now we're going to get to the God of peace that's going to guide. Look what he said there. Those things which you have both learned and received. I like the way Paul worded this. You just didn't hear about it and learn, okay, that's truth. You received it with the attitude, I'm going to do that. Right? Remember what Paul said. Hold your place here and turn over just a few books back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Paul, when he was writing to the church at Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, he told these folks the same thing. He said, you receive the word to put into action in your life. I'm wanting to turn to a scripture, and I believe we're going to do it here in just a moment, okay? But I want you to look at this. Because it's amazing how that we sit, and if we're not careful, we'll have this mindset, I want to learn something from the Bible. I want to learn something new. I want to learn more than what I know. When we really should be focusing on, I want to put into practice what I do know. Amen. It seems like we're living in this society where people just want to, I want more knowledge, not so I can do it, but just so I can know it. What is that? And so Paul wrote here, look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Look if you would in verse number 12. He's talking about walking worthy. And then in verse number 13 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, he said, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when you received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God. Now watch this, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. In other words, when you heard it with the heart of, I want to practice it. And so you allowed it to go to work, effectually worketh in you. You allowed that truth that you received to go to work in you. And it, I just pray that my heart will forever be turned this way. I want to learn more about God's Word, not just so I can teach you, or so I can say I know that, but so I can put it into practice and glean from the benefit of that truth in my own life. I'm going to close with this, but I want you to turn. I'm going to give you a thought here that I hope you'll develop. Okay, go to Matthew 13. I shared this with our Sunday school a couple of weeks ago. Go to Matthew chapter 13. You know, this thing of receiving God's Word, and we hear it a lot here, and I'm glad for it. I want Fellowship Baptist Church to be known as a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. But we probably need to put another phrase in there. Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, Bible-practicing. Amen? Amen. Now, why? Watch what the Lord Jesus does here. Here is the parable of the sower. You know this parable. Now, in Matthew 13, of course, there's many parables. But in Matthew 13, look at verse number 9. Matthew 13 and verse number 9. I read after a gentleman that brought this to my attention through reading, and I said, wow. And so I began to look into this, and I mean, it just kept opening up and opening up, and I'm not going to go into all the things it opened up to. Perhaps you will in your own study. But I do want to give you the surface of it, and it is something. Okay, look at what he said. Matthew 13, look at verse number 9. Now, this is known as the hearers chapter. You go through and you'll see that word hear, heareth, hearing, over and over and over and over and over again as Jesus is saying, hear, 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 hear. You need to hear, you need to hear, you need to hear, you need to hear. So look at 13 verse 9. Matthew 13 verse 9. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. In other words, you need to make sure, and here's the word, that you are hearing. God gave you the ability to hear. Now put yourself in a position to hear His Word. You've done that tonight. Many of you do it most in every service that you can, and then some, and then some. And so the key word in this chapter is that. He, in verse number 9, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. In other words, be careful that you hear. Put yourself in a position to hear. And you do that. You do that through the teaching, through the preaching, through the reading, through listening to it on radio and other media sources. You listen to preaching, and that's a great thing. So beware, or take heed that you hear. You got that? You see what he's saying? You want to hear. So take heed that you hear. And you do that. Why? The Word of God changes lives. The Word of God changes lives. We need to hear as much of the Word as we can hear. Now go to Mark, and he's elaborating a little bit in Mark chapter 4 on this hearing. And he said in verse 23 of Mark chapter 4, he says it again. He says in Mark chapter 4, in verse number 23, I'll give you a chance to get there. You there? Mark 4, 23. He said, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. In other words, be careful that you hear. But look at verse 24. He adds to it. He builds on it. All right? Look what he says. And he said unto them, take heed. Now look at that next word. It's not that you hear. Take heed what you hear. You need to prove what you're hearing. Don't ever go to a church service without an open Bible. I say that often from this pulpit. We are living in days where there's a multitude of false teachers. They're everywhere. And you follow along. You take heed what you're hearing. I see people, and it stuns me. It stuns me. People that say, I'm a Bible-believing, God-fearing Baptist, and they're quoting Joel Osteen. What? They're quoting Joyce Meyer. Huh? Are you kidding me? Take heed what you hear. Prove it by this book. If it doesn't line up, get it out of your life. It's toxic. It's toxic. Well, they mean well, preacher. I'm not so sure about that. Well, it sounds good. Well, there's things far more important than how it sounds. And so what's he saying? He said in Matthew, take heed that you hear. You need to get under the sound teaching and preaching of the Word of God. And then he said this in verse number 24 of Mark chapter 4, take heed what you hear. Just because it sounds like a Bible verse or it's got a little warm fuzzy feeling when you read it, that doesn't mean it's the Word of God. And then finally in Luke, he adds to it, and this is where we'll close tonight. In Luke chapter number 18, and by the way, if you want to find out what how each one of these affect our lives, take the context in which they're written. The that, from the what, to what we're going to get to in this chapter in Luke 18, the how. Look in Luke 18, look at verse number 8. In Luke 18, in verse number 8, the Lord Jesus said this, I might be in the wrong chapter here. Let's see. It's Luke 8, verse 18. I'm sorry. In Luke 8, in verse number 18, he said this, take heed, therefore, how ye hear. So we've gone from take heed that you hear. You need to hear the Word of God, because one day you're going to be judged by it. And so Jesus said, take heed that you hear. The Word of God's what's going to make a difference in your life. Somebody says about some things, well, it's a game changer. Well, the Word of God's a life changer. Amen? It'll change your life. So take heed that you hear it. Get under the Word of God as often as you can. Come to Sunday school and hear its teaching. Come to preaching and hear its preaching. Be a part of the special events and hear the preaching of the Word. We're getting ready to have missions conference. As a good member of Fellowship Baptist Church, I want to encourage you to just, listen, just go ahead and block that time off and purpose in your heart by the grace of God and the will of God, you're going to be under the sound preaching of the Word of God for that week. Just purpose in your heart. Take heed that you hear. And then take heed what you hear. See, God's going to speak to you. So you take heed what you hear. See, you may not hear what I hear. God may use the message to tell you something different. He may call you to the mission field. He may call me. More than one pastor has been called to the mission field. So I want to be listening so I can not only hear, but I want to know what God has to say to me in that message. Why? Because in every message, God has something for me. So I want to be listening to what God is saying. Now, here's the final thing in verse 18. He said, take heed, therefore, how. Don't come with a closed heart. You know, years ago, and we'll close here, there's a lot more that could be said, but I want to close. I know some of you just eager to get home and watch a sorry Super Bowl. And it's only sorry because my team's not in it. Say, amen. Years ago, I remember an evangelist who every night he preached, he would ask us to stand. This was in camp meeting, and he would ask us to stand. And it was saying, I want you to repeat after me. If the man of God preaches the word of God, and we would say it, by the grace of God, I will obey. First couple of times you say that, it's just kind of, okay, we'll do it. But I tell you, if you say that a couple of times, God will check your heart. It's not just empty words you're putting out there. And that's taking heed how you hear. Are you hearing so you can just kind of, you know, sift out what you want and just discard that and just kind of apply what you like? Or are we hearing the Word of God so we can do it as God is our helper? That's how you hear. Take heed how you hear now, with the right heart, with the right mindset, that if it's the Word of God, by the grace of God and with the help of God's Holy Spirit, I want to make that practical in my life. So take heed, therefore, how you hear. It's important. I think a lot of times we come and we're just taking heed that we hear. Well, I'm going to listen. Well, that's great. And I'm thankful for that. We have a very attentive congregation here. We do. Now, could we use a little work? Yeah. But we have a very attentive congregation, and I'm thankful for that. And more than one guest speaker has told me that. Take heed what you hear. Prove it. The Bible says, prove all things. And then take heed how you hear. It might do us good before every time we listen to the Word of God, we just make that commitment. If the man of God will preach the Word of God, I will practice it by the grace of God. Are you hearing the Word of God that way? Because that's when the Word of God can have an effectual working in our lives. If we predetermine, I'm just going to kind of pick and choose what I'm going to do, what comes from that pulpit, you're not going to hear much. We're just not. So God be our helper. Okay? All right. Let's stand. There's a lot more that could be said about the peace of God, but I think we're going to move on from that section of Scripture. We want our heart and our minds to be right, don't we, brethren? Because we want the peace of God in our lives. And in order to have that, we're going to have to get into this. You know, while you're standing, I'll just read you this verse, and you go home and look at this, all right? It's Colossians 3:15. Now, most people know Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all understanding. All right? Colossians 3:15, however, says this about the peace of God. Now, listen very carefully. This is an outstanding truth that goes right along with our subject tonight. Colossians 3:15. Listen carefully. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. What's that mean? You know what that word rule means? Umpire. So a man's coming home and he slides and the tag's made right at the time his foot hit the base. Who's going to make the call? The umpire. The home plate umpire. He's going to make the ruling. Was he safe or was he out? What is Paul saying? Let the peace of God let you know if you're safe or out. Amen? Getting ready to make a decision. You know what the peace of God will do? You shouldn't do that. The peace of God will trouble you. When you make a wrong decision or when you're getting ready to do something, you know the peace of God will just trouble you on the inside and make a ruling. Mm-mm. Don't do that. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts.